This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson this morning. We're glad you've tuned us in and trust the program encourages you and blesses you and challenges you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there. And the program can be re-listened to there. There's a weekly meditation you might find helpful, as well as questions and answers and testimonies and tracts that you might find useful there as well. You can also reach me by regular mail at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, I try to read through my Bible every year, and sometimes I use a different version and compare it to the King James usually. Each time I've been doing a lot of my quoting from the New King James on this program, simply because it keeps me from having to explain some words that otherwise wouldn't be clear to somebody who has been raised in recent years. The Old English language of the King James is foreign to many people, although I do really prefer it for study and for memorization for myself. But as I go through the Bible every year and start over, I'm always confronted with this issue of death. We know, and we've already looked at it, that in Genesis chapter 3, Satan came along and he subtly lied, really, seduced Eve, and convinced her that if she took of the forbidden fruit in the midst of the garden, she would not surely die. God had said that if they took of that fruit, they would die. And as a result of her being seduced into taking of that fruit, there was death. This did pass upon her, not immediately. Spiritual death occurred immediately, because death in the Bible is separation. And she was separated from God until such time as she confessed her sin along with her husband, was clothed with the garments of an animal, which represented God's sacrifice for sin. But she suffered, even though eternally, I think, we'll meet her in heaven, because her sin was forgiven in an eternal sense. Yet in a practical sense, she and her husband brought death upon the whole society, the whole world as we know it today. And so when we look at death in Genesis, I'm reminded of a verse in Genesis 47 and verse 8, where Pharaoh is speaking to Jacob, who's come from the land of Israel to live in Egypt in the land of Goshen during a famine. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How old are you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." And he calls his years few and evil, even though they have been 130 years. Now, he lived beyond this. I think at least 17 more years. But nevertheless, he says few and evil. And the word evil here just simply means they were difficult years or hard years. There was a lot of challenges in those years. And I'm sure that we can all identify with that. I've been thinking a lot about that because of events that have been taking place in our world today. And I know that because of a current events, at least in my own mind, I keep wondering when we could have insurrections and wars and problems that might cost us lives in the United States today. And then we look at the pandemic, and I'm obviously in a high-risk category, and I wonder if there, even with care, if there's a possibility I could die in the pandemic. But if I don't die in the unrest, the political unrest, and if I don't die in the pandemic, there is a statement in the scripture that says the soul that sinneth it shall die, and I've sinned and I'm going to die apart from the Lord's return. We have a tract that we used to hand out quite frequently when we were doing gospel work, and it was called The Preacher of the Old School. And this tract basically said that there's a preacher that preaches in the dance hall, it preaches in the theater, it preaches in the home, it preaches in the church. No matter where you go, you cannot avoid this preacher. It's the preacher of the old school, and this preacher is called death. And because of death, we all have to think about our relationship with God and where we're going to be after we die. I know many people would like to believe that we have just happened to appear on earth, and we're from dust we came and to dust we're going to go, and when we die, it's all over. I don't believe that. The Bible doesn't tell us that, and I think that that's a very dangerous position to take. It would take a true miracle to put somebody on this earth that had no eternal existence and no creator, and for that person to be as intricately made as we're made and still not have accountability to God, both in time and in eternity. But as we look at our lives on this earth, and I for those of you that don't know, I've now reached the age of 77 years, and I've been here a long time, and I've seen a lot of things happen, and I'm very grateful for the health that I have had. But even as I look back over life, I realize how short life really is. When we come to Genesis chapter 5, this is before Noah's flood, we find that people were living close to a millennium. And in Genesis chapter 5, there's 8 times where we read, "And he died." And even though they were nearly 1,000 years old, nobody reached 1,000 years as far as I know, but even though they were nearly 1,000 years old, they still died. And I've often marveled at the amount of information and the amount of knowledge that these people would have had as a result of a life of 1,000 years. We basically live 80 years, and we spend 20 to 25 of that getting an education. We spend 40 of that using the education. Then we spend 20 of it in retirement, where we may use the education, we may not. But really, there's 40 productive years in there with regard to what we learn in most cases if we've lived a normal life. But these people lived 1,000 years. Look at the amount of information that they must have stored up in their minds. Plus, I believe that in those days they actually lived closer to God than we do today. I don't think, I know that by the time we come to Noah, the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually, and God had looked at the violence on the earth, and it had saddened him, and he decided he wanted to start over. But in the early years of those patriarchs who lived nearly 1,000 years, I believe they walked closer with God than we do. And I think when we walk with God, we walk with a higher level of intelligence than we do when we try to avoid our responsibilities and our relationship with God. As a matter of fact, in this list in Genesis chapter 5, there's one person that really always stands out, and that's a man by the name of Enoch. He did not die. It says, "Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." And so he was walking with God one day, and he just ended up going apparently directly to heaven. That veil between us and the spirit world must not have been as opaque as it is today. It must not have been as much of a separation as it is today. And I think some of these patriarchs really did have communion with God on a daily basis in a very practical way. But anyway, he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And of course, we know that we are told that Enoch was taken directly to heaven, and we're told that Elijah was taken directly to heaven, and we're told that the church that is alive and exists at the time of the Lord's, when the Lord begins his his calendar of events on this earth once again with the Jewish people, that rapture is going to take people to heaven without dying. And so I want to be walking with God, and I'd like to believe that that could happen even today. But apart from that, we're all going to die. And so we need to be ready for that. The preacher of the old school speaks to our hearts. When we go to a funeral, we are reminded that one day we, apart from the Lord's return, are going to be in one of those caskets, and we're going to be buried. And the question is, when our body goes into the earth, where is the real me going to be? And in 1963, I settled that. I trusted Christ. I believe that Christ died for my sins, and I settled that issue so that God could righteously accept me into heaven, because my sin had been judged and paid for on the cross of Calvary. It says in Romans chapter 5, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and that means into this society, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned. And so when we look at this preacher of the old school, when we look at all of those 8 different instances of people that lived nearly 1,000 years in Genesis 5, but they died, when we look at that, when we look at around us today and see the wars and the murders and the problems with drug addiction and the people that overdose on drugs, and when we see the hatred that is in the world today, we see the culmination of what started with just a simple act of disobedience, partaking of that particular forbidden fruit that Eve shouldn't have taken of. So death spread upon all men because all have sinned. And so if we were to read from Hebrews, we'd find we have an appointment. And it says, it is appointed in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it says, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. And the judgment here is speaking of the judgment of the unsaved. We don't wait till we die to find out whether we're going to heaven, because that's settled when we trust Christ. But after we die, if we haven't had that, our sins forgiven and put away through the blood of Christ, we're going to face the consequences of those sins. And so it is appointed for men to die once. That is, the unsaved and the saved die once, but for the unsaved, after this, there's judgment. But verse 28 says, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Now, without going into the theological aspects of that last verse, we simply can see that there's either going to be judgment or condemnation because we have all sinned, or there's going to be salvation. And I think the salvation is probably referred to here is the salvation that occurs when the Lord returns for the church. He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. But for everyone who has died saved, he's going to raise them from the dead and take them to be with himself. And so, friend, as we look at these early chapters in Genesis, and as we think of the fact that there is an appointment coming, we're all going to have to face that appointment. Friend, make sure that you're ready for the time when you're going to meet God. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy salvation. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.